almost
I see
always do.
like a still image of someone. Must be you, Tom.
Yes. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, he moved.
Yeah, that's. I do that from time to time. I just get all up in my own business.
You're listening to the Music Manumit podcast for April 13th, 2014. Learn more at musicmanumit.com.
Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I'm Tom, and joining me is Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
Well, I think I'd be better if we weren't about to swear off Skype, but I think that's what we're going to have to do because it just doesn't work for you for some reason.
It does from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It used to work.
It used to work.
Like the last like month, it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I need to update something. Maybe I just don't know. So we're on Hangouts, and for you, all I'm seeing is your icon image. So it's really funny because every time you speak, it's just this drawing, and then a pulsating wave sound indicator behind your, which is actually kind of ominous. I mean, it looks like you're all seeing, all knowing.
This is Doug. Is it more ominous when I talk like that, or not?
No, not at all. It makes you sound far more comical.
Well, maybe I should just do that for the rest of the show.
Maybe you should talk. You should talk like that all the time. Just pretend like you've got this big booming, you know, Wizard of Oz voice. And then also joining us today is Carl Otto Johansson, or is it Johansson?
Whatever, Johansson. In Sweden, it would be Johansson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was all kinds of wrong, is what you're telling me. I wasn't
but
even close.
Johansson is probably the, you know, international pronunciation of it.
That's a very polite way to say the dumb way Americans would say it. And I appreciate that. And you're joining us here today. You're a musician. You have quite the extensive background. So instead of me explaining it, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, okay. First of all, I live in Sweden, on the east coast of Sweden. And, you know, I've been making music since all my life, really. But I've been playing the guitar since I was about 15, and that's my main instrument. And I've written songs since then, and played in several bands, and did so up until a couple of years ago, when I, you know, I decided that it was, up until then it was more like a hobby for me. So, but then I decided to, you know, maybe if I want to make music in this lifetime, so I better do it now. So I laid everything aside and I started making music full time. So now I not only do I, you know, make indie pop or indie rock, which I used to do before, I now also, you know, make music for kids and a lot of other stuff too. Started writing children's books and stuff like that. It's got a lot to do with, you know, my own kids, and so. But I've I think I lived down in Malmö for many years, which is one of Sweden's largest cities, and we had a band there called iDrop in the 90s and early 2000s, or whatever you call it, so that was my main, you know, band. We were making like a melancholic indie rock music, and we were pretty good. At least we thought so ourselves. But we didn't have any commercial success, or didn't get any label. Yeah, we did actually have a label, but they sucked. So we didn't get anywhere. And then iDrop split up in 2003, and then I decided to go solo. So I created a solo project called Orphan Songs. And I made an album a couple of years later, self-titled album. And that wasn't really a commercial success either, but I was very pleased with the results. So that was more mellow, you know, more acoustic, more not so depressing as iDrop.
Okay.
But and in 2000, the album came out in 2008. So a couple of years later, in 2011, I decided to join Creative Commons. So I changed the license on the album, and since then it has, you know, become you know, very widespread on the internet, mm-hmm. and used in many videos, and lots of downloads and streams and so forth.
And I had seen the, I mean, you've released the iDrops album, or the, is it iDrop or iDrops?
iDrop.
Okay, iDrop. The iDrop album on Jamendo. And I didn't realize that it was that long ago that that the band had broken up, or even that the album was created.
Oh, yeah. I think I put Orphan Songs on Jamendo first, and then later I talked to the band, and they agreed to change the license.
Okay.
So it came up after, but it was recorded much earlier.
Okay. And the and that was quite the, so you said the band broke up in 2003.
Yeah.
And then you released the solo album in 2008. Now, were you recording it the whole time, or was that the writing process, or just trying to figure it out? Like, that's a pretty big gap in between.
Yeah, it was. I think I was kind of sick and tired of, you know, making music for a while after the band split up, and I was disappointed. But I wrote a lot of songs, and I started recording. So the album took me several years to record, mm-hmm. actually, you know, on and off I recorded. But I, you know, I had like a goal that I was going to make an album. So it was all coming together, but it took a long time. But I think it was finished in 2007, but I didn't release it until a year later because I had a lot of, you know, family stuff going on. My son was born in 2006, and we moved from Malmö to Kalmar, and where I live now.
Dumb so, life happening and getting in the way.
Yeah.
And then the you'd recorded the whole album yourself too. You played most of the instruments yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. I like having, you know, full control over everything.
Yeah. And so, what were you using to record it? Were you just doing it? I mean, you just set up your own home studio, or were you just doing it straight into the computer? I mean, how did you create it?
Actually, I recorded it on a like an old Roland digital, you know, workstation,
mm-hmm.
a 16 channel workstation, which I still use today. Actually,
really,
I've switched to using Cubase now.
Okay,
so I use a computer for editing, but I still use it like a sound card. It's I should really upgrade that, but it's I love the that old thing. It's done me so much good. So, but for I'm gonna invest in some new equipment soon.
It's I personally we just pulled out the old digital recorder the other day, and yeah, it's just so weird not being able to see what you're trying to accomplish. Like the whole yeah. thing, you're just pushing the buttons and relying on like, okay, you do this to do that. And you're not just going, oh, we'll just put the mouse here and select this thing, or, you know, we'll start from this point. Yeah. It's been so long since I've used an interface like that. It was just like, it was very strange. It was like going back in time. It felt so weird. Yeah. So kudos to you for still using the thing. And it's, I mean, the fact that you're like going, oh, I'm going to force myself to upgrade. Like, you're okay with your old way of doing it.
I don't use it for recording. I use it like more like a mixer now.
Oh, okay.
Like, hearing what I do and get some, you know, reverb on the vocals while I record.
Yeah.
So, but I use it. I actually use it when I do my kids' shows.
Mm-hmm.
I take it on the road and use it because it's It's an excellent mixer too.
Well,
so I love it. And they don't build them like that anymore.
No, 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 they don't. And so now talking about that, okay, so when you were first telling us about what you've been up to, you just said that one day you decided you wanted to do something to do music full time. Like, I mean, did you just all of a sudden go it like just snap your fingers and go, okay, now I'm gonna perform children's songs and pursue? I mean, how did you make this decision and how did it, you know, how did it come about? Basically, as a guy who would love to just not have to go to work tomorrow and do what you're doing, what's the realistic transition of this?
Well, you know, I think that you get in life, you get certain, you know, opportunities or moments in life where you get to, you know, make big decisions. Mm-hmm. And if you don't make them, you know, if you don't wake up and say to yourself, well, I'm going to quit my day job and do this, you will probably get, you know, presented with an opportunity to at least, you know, switch jobs or something like that. And so I was working with marketing at a company. I had a very good job. I was doing well, but the company, you know, went bankrupt. So everyone was laid off. And then I, you know, said to myself, okay, I could, you know, keep doing this. I could apply for a similar job and try to get, you know, a similar position in another company.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with my job. I mean, it was rather creative, but not nearly enough for me.
Right.
So, and I think it had to do with, you know, me being like 35 and thinking about life, and so I think that was a major you know, factor for me as well, because I realized that if I don't, you know, try this now, I'm going to regret it later.
Yeah.
And this might be an opportunity to, you know, change and try, because I didn't really want to take a similar job. So I decided to, you know, I'm not going to apply for another marketing job. I'm going to do this full time, and it's let's see if it works. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, I'll find another job.
Right. I mean, you can always move on. It's no harm in trying. But now, were you a Creative Commons artist before you did this, or did you become one after you started doing this? Because I know you said that you had kind of changed even past albums or re-released them under Creative Commons.
Yeah, exactly. This was about 2 years ago. I re-released the Orphan Songs album in 2011.
Okay.
But I think I was like, I was Creative Commons even before Creative Commons was a thing. I actually, when I started Orphan Songs, I put out all my songs for free. So I had like a thing on my website where I think I called it like pay what you want if you want to or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people could download for free.
Right.
But it was kind of early. It was about 2005 or something. So, so I've always felt like music is you know, something that should be shared, and it you know, it doesn't really serve me to keep my music to myself. It doesn't make sense anymore, and never had. So it's kind of a natural thing for me.
And then you made the transition to kids' music. Now, of course, I'm assuming the big influence for that was having kids. I mean, it's weird how that happens, but it does.
Yeah, exactly.
So how's that going? I mean, what's it like, really?
Oh, it's great. Let me tell you a little about the background there.
It definitely
has something to do with, you know, becoming a parent. And My oldest son, Svante, he's now 7 years old. When he was about 4, this was exactly when, you know, I quit my day job. Mm-hmm. And he was really interested in dinosaurs. And a lot of, you know, kids that age get interested in dinosaurs.
Yes.
Most of them do. So, you know, I bought all the toys. You know, there are a lot of dinosaur toys, and I, you know, bought the dinosaur books and the movies and everything. So I thought that there must be tons of dinosaur music out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't. There was like one good song on YouTube called the Dinosaur Song, but that was it. There were some other songs, but I didn't really like them. So I thought, like, hey, let's make some dinosaur songs of our own. So, you know, he was playing with his dinosaurs, and I sat there with my guitar, and I was kind of, you know, making up a soundtrack while he was playing. So we started writing some of the songs together, and he, you know, he came up with some good rhymes. We were just playing. But after we had written a couple of songs, I realized that, hey, maybe I could do something
mm-hmm.
With this. So the idea was born to, you know, record a kids album and make a dinosaur songs album. So I did. And while I was recording it, I started thinking about, you know, doing live shows and not just playing the music, but telling a story and maybe do it into some sort of, you know, role playing with the kids on stage and stuff like that. So that has really evolved into something that's become really great. And that's the, you know, major thing for me right now. That's the thing that has enabled me to, you know, keep working with music mm-hmm. full time. So it's a lot of fun, and I think I had like that playful side inside of me all the time. I didn't really let it out when I did Eye Drop or Orphan Songs,
right?
Because that was a completely different thing. That was more like,
oh yeah,
from the heart, you know. And this was more of mind-based, you know, fun stuff.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I've listened to the Eye Drop stuff, and I've listened to your Tyrannosaurus Rex song.
Oh yeah.
They're not the same.
You're not the same, no.
It's very interesting. Yeah. Although I enjoy the video for the Tyrannosaurus Rex song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from the point of view of the Tyrannosaurus Rex puppet going around eating the random things.
That's funny.
I even like how you, because it's not necessarily a kid's Tyrannosaurus Rex toy, so I like how you put the little googly eyes on it to kind of make it look like, you know, it's just a funny little puppet.
But that's you know, many people have watched it and they get confused, you know. The funniest thing is when people comment on YouTube and say they go like, that's fake.
That's not a real dinosaur. Get yourself a real dinosaur, you hack.
A kid that size could never outrun a real T-Rex.
Oh, people of Earth.
Yeah.
Now, so in this particular stuff that you're doing under the name Daddy Donut, which, how did you come up with that name? Just because it was a daddy, and then you were like, what other D word is there?
Oh yeah, exactly. In Swedish, the album came out in Swedish first.
Mm.
And then I called myself Papa Capsule, which is daddy, and then it's like a, you know, cap that's on a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Capsule. Okay. That I didn't really couldn't translate that directly, so I thought, like, okay, I'll keep daddy. So what's, you know, funny with daddy, some alliteration or something. So I just came up with donut. I thought that was funny.
Right. And then Doug said he wanted to say something here. He texted in. Go ahead, ask your question, Doug.
Yeah, the Daddy Donut, I noticed that it's the name your price, but it's not under Creative Commons. So I wondered if there was some reason why that you had made the decision not to release that under Creative Commons.
Yeah. At first, I didn't plan on making it free at all, because I realized that this could probably, you know, become something that I could sell, actually. So, and I have sold a lot of albums, not that many yet, but it's selling. And people are paying for the downloads. So, but I really wanted to, increase the spread of the album. So I made it available now for free download on Bandcamp to see what happens. Because it's tough. It's a tough decision, because I feel that, you know, maybe it should be all free in Creative Commons, but I still have like one foot is in the business region and one foot is in the Creative Commons, you know, sharing business. But
you're not in bad company. I mean, a lot of Amanda Palmer's stuff is not under Creative Commons, but some of her stuff is. And I don't know how many artists do that. I think it tends to be where musicians sort of say, oh, we're Creative Commons, and they sort of stick to that. But I know, like, Professor Click has, he's still doing Creative Commons, as far as I'm aware, but he's experimented with different licensing as well. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and I think people would be interested how the sort of dual model works, you know, having, mm-hmm. you know, particularly in your stuff, because it's not all under the same name, it works pretty well to have, I think, to have sort of like two different things going on.
Yeah. I hope it's going to work, because, but it's a, when you make albums and you have distributors or shops selling your album, they don't really like it when you make it, you know, available for free, because then they lose sales. So that's that aspect to it as well. I don't know, but I don't feel like there is a, you know, conflict going on, because they're so different, these two projects. I don't know. There is like an inner dialogue going on all the time. What should I do? You know, in my mind, saying, you know, I have one little devil on one side and a little angel on the other side saying, oh, share everything. Everything should be free.
Right.
You know, and the other guy says, oh, how are you going to pay your bills? So
it is a tightrope. You know, I mean, of course you want to create art, but you'd love to be able to, you know, like you're doing, be able to do that all the time. And it is like, what are the different ways to do it? And, you know, what sort of direction would you take to sustain it, but still kind of, I guess, keep your cred, you know, or, you know, that's not necessarily the right way to put it, but, you know, just it's a strange decision to make, because you still want to stand for your beliefs, but at the same time too, you know, it does need to be sustainable in some way. There's the artwork that you have for the album. I mean, did you do that yourself, or did you have somebody do it? You know, and if you did have somebody do it, you can't just go, hey, draw my album cover for free. You know, that sort of stuff. There are other things involved. But also, going back to that, did you do that artwork on your album, or did you have somebody do that for you?
No, the artwork was made by a friend of mine. And he's done an amazing, you know, backdrop for my live shows as well.
Oh, really?
And we're continuing to work together, so it's going to be a lot of fun stuff in the future. So, you know, he actually did that for free. that album cover.
Oh, okay.
I have paid him, you know, since then for other things that he's done for me. So I have bills to pay.
Exactly.
And, but, you know, it's a tight rope, as you say, to walk. And but, you know, everything is, you know, everyone can listen to it on YouTube. The whole album is available on YouTube, and the videos are free to watch. But it, of course, they're monetized.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, if you want to listen to the album, it's free. So,
and see, that is one of the other decisions that you can make as well, because I also see that you have available on Spotify, and you can get, you know, you get paid per streaming for that. I mean, it's not a huge amount, but you know what? If people want to listen to it for free, then they know that you're at least getting, like, maybe, what is it, a fraction of a penny on a listen or whatever, but still, it's more than you would get just by going stream it from my website, or the same thing with putting the album on or on YouTube. You know, you can set up the monetization there, and and those are kind of the sort of the balancing act that you do with the putting the stuff out for free. Like, well, okay, well then if you want to listen to it that way or consume it that way, because some people, that's how they listen to music, and it's a way to go, cool, listen to my stuff there, and you're, without knowing it, helping me out, you know.
But it's you know, it's an ongoing process for me. I'm constantly, you know, changing my mind about stuff like that, because, you know, the little angel on my, you know, left side,
right,
it's whispering in my ear that, you know, if you make it Creative Commons and you allow, you know, remixing, you know, a lot of kids could have so much fun with doing their own versions of instrumental versions of the song and blah blah blah, you know. So I'd like to do that, but I don't think I'm ready for it yet. But maybe in the future, who knows?
Yeah, that is true. In this particular style of music, there is way more opportunity for the remixable and man, even like instrumental, you could have karaoke versions, or you know,
exactly.
there's all kinds, and kids would actually want to participate in such a thing, you know.
Is there like a ship coming in or something?
I don't know. Is somebody's phone ringing?
It's my phone.
It was vibrating on the table.
There's like a giant ship with the axe.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, because it was vibrating through the microphone, so it was really, really strong.
I'm sorry.
And here's a funny question. So, speaking of your YouTube channel, I see the YouTube user account is Daddy Donut 1. So Daddy Donut was taken?
Yeah, it was taken.
That's awesome. You wouldn't think such a thing. I'm almost
Daddy Donut, the original Daddy Donut is actually.
Yeah, like, does he? And it's one of those things too, where like the guy probably doesn't even use it, you know. It's just some account that he uses to, you know, plus one things or write angry comments.
Yeah,
like they like to do, and tell people that's not a real dinosaur.
I actually, when I translated the album, and I was you know, preparing the international version, and I hadn't decided the name, I was like, you know, I had one suggestion, was like Daddy Gaga, for like, you know, Lady Gaga's daddy. But I googled it, and it was some sort of transvestite stripper.
So. Yeah, I could see that. Okay, that,
I didn't want to get confused with that guy.
That's very true. No, no, that would be a very, very sad thing for kids to go, what's the name of that singer again? Yeah, no, that was probably a good choice. So, all right, now going back to the other band. And you decided to release your stuff on Creative Commons. And then I know that you also have like your Orphan Songs and iDrop on Spotify and iTunes and stuff. After doing so, where have you seen the most success from releasing your stuff in those different mediums?
Definitely Jamendo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That it made a huge, you know, it had a huge impact when it was released. I don't know how it worked, if, you know, it was a featured album on Jamendo or something, but, you know, a lot of people caught onto it and wrote, you know, reviews and listened to it and downloaded it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how to read their statistics, but there are like, you know, hundreds of thousands of, you know, streams and a lot of downloads. So, but I got a lot of new fans that way, actually. But then it kind of, you know, after a while, stopped attracting new people. Mm-hmm. So my guess is it was like a featured album for like a month or a couple of months.
Oh, so really
it's
quickly
it's
it stopped.
The same thing on YouTube. You know, sometimes you get like, you know, huge increase in views on YouTube, and then it drops again. Mm-hmm. It probably has to do something with the, you know, YouTube just tied into feature it or something.
Yeah,
but Yamendo's been good to me, and you know, what else? I just recently uploaded it to Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. I've never used that before, and it was about 2 years ago or something. I made it available on Spotify again because I had like a publisher's deal before, but that wasn't working, so I had to take it off Spotify for a while and then upload it again. So
what was the, if I can ask, the publisher's deal and what happened? I mean, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. I understand that those sort of things can get kind of touchy. You don't want to speak about those things. That's perfectly fine.
They weren't doing anything for me except, you know, taking 30% of my royalties.
Okay.
So and it had a lot to do with where me switching to Creative Commons, because then they, you know, they lost all interest in me because I was giving it away for free.
Right.
So and I was a, you know, it was difficult changing from, you know, copyrighted music to Creative Commons, because I actually had to leave my in Sweden, the you know, Performance Rights Association is called STIM. I actually had to leave and not be, you know, get rid of my membership.
Okay.
To be able to re-release the songs as Creative Commons, because they hadn't, you know, catched on to that yet, and they were like, what do you mean you're gonna give it away?
Yeah,
we can't do that.
Right.
So but then I joined again a few years later. So
so they had updated their policies, or
I think they're more open to it now.
Okay.
You know, that some artists are like, don't want to, you know, license all their songs with a normal copyright.
Right. Yeah, and that's, it's not that uncommon these days, so really to not adjust to that seems kind of strange. I mean, there are so many artists now that's exactly the type of model that they would do. You know, listen before you buy, try before you buy, all that kind of stuff, or, you know, release a couple free and then still, you know, have the albums for sale or whatever. You know, it's not that far-fetched anymore, whereas, you know, it's saying, no, you can't do that. That just seems silly. It's like, really, open up a web page. You know, it's not that uncommon. Their entire service is dedicated to it.
I realize that it's difficult, and it's, you know, it makes when people are working together, it tends to complicate things. So I listened to your podcast from a few weeks ago, where mm-hmm. you know, and the compilation you were putting out that was halted by a band, you know, signing to a label.
Yeah.
And they switched from Creative Commons to, you know, something else. So it's a rocky ride right now, I think. You know,
yeah,
people are not really, you know, decided which way to go.
Right.
And me included, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, even a couple, or maybe it was last week, or I don't remember if it was a couple weeks ago, but that's the whole, I'm going through the same thing right now, where it's trying to decide whether or not, and more for just convenience, to switch to even just inside the Creative Commons label from just attribution share alike to non-commercial attribution share alike.
Yeah.
You know, just, and that's mainly just because of the difficulty that through doing the YouTube thing, whereas if people still want to use it, if you use the advertising share sort of stuff or the content ID, then other people can't necessarily release it without having the commercials controlled, you know, and
yeah,
it's like a whole thing. Yeah. But it's because the culture is evolving, and that is a good thing. This conversation a couple of years ago, people would have been like, that's just stupid what you're talking about, you know? And exactly. Now it's like, it's an actual thing to think about.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's good. It's progress.
Yeah. It's progress. And I think, you know, if we talk in a few years, you know, things will have changed even more.
Oh, definitely.
Probably for the better. I'm very optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I envision a world where we, you know, we don't have to work that much with things that we don't like. So all people can do more stuff that they really enjoy and share that with everyone else.
Right.
So, I think we're getting there.
Yeah. Okay. So now with the doing your stuff full time, does this involve touring around? Do you just make music out of your home, or are you out like touring
know?
Yeah.
Well, I've just, yesterday I finished my Daddy Donut tour here in Sweden.
Oh.
I've done 50 shows in like two months.
Wow.
Like 3 months. So it's been, I'm quite relieved that it's over now.
That's a lot.
How far outside of Sweden do you travel?
Only in Sweden, actually.
Okay. And there were 50 venues for you to do this at? Wow. That's awesome.
So it's been so cool. It's been great. So, you know, when I started, I had like, you know, one show a month or something like that. And I was, you know, making calls and trying to get people to, you know, book me. Mm-hmm. But then now I have like a booking agent that does all the booking, books all the shows for me. So that's great. And that's, it's been a, very different since then.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. So, but it's good because like I said, the record sales are not my main income.
Right.
As an artist, it's the live shows.
Yeah.
Live shows are paying for everything. So, but it's great because now when I've completed the tour and I have like 5 or 10 shows during the rest of the spring and the summer, but that's not very much, so now I can focus on other things, you know, writing new songs, recording, doing whatever.
Yeah, no kidding. You're gonna continue to do Dinosaurs, or are you gonna
Oh yeah.
All right.
Oh yes.
You already have, like you said, cornered the dinosaur market, haven't you? As far as children's songs. So, yeah.
There are some others out there.
Okay. All right.
But I'm gonna crush them.
There you go. Yeah. The competitive world of dinosaur songs. So, as we come to the end of the show, we always like to ask these particular questions to get some more information moving forward. One is, who do you think or who do you know that we should try to get on the show who are important in the Creative Commons music realm today, if you know anybody that you could think of?
I could give you someone that I actually worked with, and that's a Swedish band called Emerald Park.
Hmm.
And they are from Malmö, where I used to live, and two of the members in Emerald Park used to be in Eye Drop.
Oh, okay.
And they have been a huge success on Jamendo.
Okay.
So they would probably be interesting to talk with them. The lead singer and songwriter in that band is called Tobias Aurelius.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. We'll have to check that out. I wonder if I've come across their music before. It'd be interesting to see.
I know some of their stuff is No Derivatives, which is why that we haven't played their stuff. I've come across them several times,
though. Okay.
I don't know if that's all of their stuff or just the stuff that I've seen. So.
Gotcha.
I'm just looking what's on Free Music Archive, and everything on Free Music Archives appears to be No Derivatives.
So. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And then also what we like to ask as we finish up here is there anything else that we may not have covered today that you'd like to tell us about? Sometimes when we do this, we realize there's an entire thing that like we didn't even know about that the person brought up. So is there anything we may have missed or that you would like to mention before we say goodbye?
I'm working on a new album. You know, I've only released one album with the Orphan Song so far, and there are a few songs available on the website that are like rough mixes of new songs. But it's going to be a new album, hopefully soon. I've said that so many times before, but I'm saying it again. I actually have an album. It's already recorded. It's going to be about 8 or 9 songs. So I just need the time to, you know, mix it and master it and get it out there. It's going to be pretty, you know, it's going to be heavy socio-economic commentary from Sweden.
Man, all right.
So it's going to be quite different from the debut album, actually.
Yeah.
But after that one, I'm going to record my masterpiece, so.
Oh.
Just wait for it.
I like how you're getting the other stuff out of the way first. You know, children's songs, social political views, punk pop. Then I'll do my masterpiece.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, cool. We'll have to keep an eye out for that. And when it comes out, you'll have to let us know and we'll try and get you back on the show.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Well, it was super talking with you. Doug, did you have anything you'd like to add or ask before we say goodbye?
Well, I wanted to thank Carl Otto, and I also want to say I have not done anything with Bitcoin, and I probably should have said this at the start, but this morning I decided to start figuring out what to do with Bitcoin, and we haven't done anything with like donations or anything in the past,
okay.
But I don't even know how this Bitcoin stuff all works, but I'm going to put one of my addresses in the show notes, and I'm not going to read it out because it's like 35 characters long, so if people decide they want to like test Bitcoin out with me, maybe we'll start doing donations in Bitcoin or something if it like seems to actually work.
All right. That's
cool. I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, that was out of nowhere, but okay. I'm also confused about Bitcoin, so let's see what happens, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of backstory, but I don't think it's probably worth getting into. Maybe at some time Tom and I can do a Bitcoin for Musicians show.
So. Yeah, I'd be interested to figure that out.
Yeah.
I only hear people talk about it in jokingly, so it'd be interesting to see it in the real world. So, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And this has been another Music Manual podcast at musicmanual.com.